The last male northern white rhino recently died, and with just two females left alive, the species is functionally extinct. But that loss is just a tiny part of rapidly declining biological diversity, according to a new report from the United Nations. It's the result of 3 years' study and 4 regional assessments that cover the whole globe and tries to explain why biodiversity is important, documents the main threats, and suggests paths to a more sustainable future. Sir Robert Watson is the chair of the Intergovernmental Science Policy Platform on Biodiversity and Ecosystem Services, which put the report together, and he joins me now. Welcome to Living on Earth.
Thank you very much.
So, from all of your meetings and all these reports, what's the one thing that we need to know right now?
The one thing the world needs to know is that we are degrading nature and it's undermining human well-being, our ability to supply food, clean water, energy. And so as we continue to degrade our environment, it's not just an environmental issue, it's also a development issue.
So how serious is the scale of biodiversity loss right now, as you detailed in this latest report?
Is significant. We're losing species at an unsustainable rate, more than 1,000 times the natural rate of evolution. We are degrading our forests across the world. Our coral reefs are degrading, our mangrove swamps. So we're losing species. We're losing not only certain species that may go extinct, but the populations of species are going down. So if you were in America and you walked through a forest today, it would have effectively 30% fewer butterflies, birds, animals, plants, and by 2050, it would be 40% less. So we really are changing our ecosystems quite substantially.
Now, as I understand the report, it was really a study of studies. Tell me a bit about its scope.
Yes, we've done actually 5 studies here, 4 regional, sub-regional. So the Americas and the sub-regions within the Americas, Asia and the Pacific, Africa, and Europe and Central Asia. So we looked right across the issues from a regional, sub-regional, and we did a global assessment on land degradation.
Now, of course, humans are but one species among the literally millions on this planet. But why is the loss of biodiversity so concerning to people at this point?
If we lose biodiversity and we degrade our ecosystem, we're degrading our soils, we're polluting our waters. And therefore, as you do degrade soils, as you pollute the waters, it makes it harder to have food security, harder to have water security. As we degrade the land, you get effects in the ocean. Our rivers are polluted, our lakes are polluted, the coastal zones are polluted, which again affects freshwater fish, coastal fish, etc. So as we degrade our natural world, we actually have impacts on what many people really need, food, water.
Now, so what are the driving forces of biodiversity loss these days?
The big one today all over the world is land use change. We've converted our forests, our grasslands, our mangrove systems into agricultural fields, which we've needed, of course, for the food that we need. So land use change is the major change. And unfortunately, when we've converted our land into agricultural systems, many of those are unsustainable. We're producing more food, but we've got heavy use of chemicals, sometimes overuse of chemicals in many parts of it. So that's leading to degrading our soils. Those chemicals leach into the rivers. That's affecting our freshwater systems, rivers and lakes. So land use change is the biggest, but also there's straight pollution of our ecosystems. There's invasive alien species and a threat that's already emerged but will only become even more important in time is climate change. And in fact, what we've said is land use change is the biggest threat to date, but by 2050, in most ecosystems around the world, climate change will be an equally important threat. Therefore, we have to look at climate change and biodiversity together. They are both environmental, social, economic, and development issues.
I want to ask you about one particular area that your organization has looked at, and that's the loss of pollinators. What's going on there?
Yes, we issued a report about a year ago on pollinators, and it's quite clear that wild pollinators are decreasing in many parts of the world. And what we're trying to look at is, why might that be? Could it be possibly that we are using too many chemicals, especially things like pesticides, neonicotinoids, with managed honeybees, which is very important to complement the wild bees? Were the beehives healthy as we degraded our natural ecosystems? Were there sort of flowery areas and amongst the monocultures of agriculture? So we looked to see to what degree pollinators were being lost, to what degree did pollination services affect food production, and we talked about the various possibilities of how we might sort of halt the decline of pollinators and hopefully even reverse them. So pollination is crucial to indeed food production, and that was a report we issued about a year ago.
What's the relationship between biodiversity loss and population growth, do you think?
Well, there's no question. Two major factors. The more people we have on the earth and the richer they are, the more they can demand resources. There's more demand for food, more demand for water, more demand for energy. So indeed, it's the combination of numbers of people and the ability to purchase. So there's no question the threats on the earth today are far more than, say, 50 years ago. And in 50 years' time, there'll even be more threats. So the challenge we have is, how can we meet the food needs, the water needs, the energy needs in a way that doesn't destroy biodiversity and nature?
And so talk about the relationship between our economy and the loss of biodiversity.
Well, there's no question biodiversity is an extremely important part. What they showed in the Americas, for example, is the value of biodiversity and our ecosystems is roughly equal to the GDP of the Americas, something like $24 trillion a year. What we also said in the land degradation report is the land degradation to date has probably depressed the global economy about 10%. That is to say, if we had not degraded our systems, the economy would be 10% larger than it is today. And when you look at the effects on the economy, very many people immediately think of what I call the market value of food and water. But there's a huge economic value in the way the biodiversity, nature, regulates our climate, regulates pollution, regulates our pollination services, storm surges to protect the coast from sea level rise.
So how do you think the trend of biodiversity loss is going to proceed as more and more of us live in cities?
Urbanization is another major issue. So in land use change, which has actually undermined nature, it's not just the conversion to agriculture. It is indeed our roads, our cities. Also, in the UK, for example, if you effectively look at the English landscape, it looks very nice. But that's because 40% of the food in the UK comes from other parts of the world, which are being degraded. So there's a little bit of a disconnect between people where they buy their food and where nature is being degraded. We need sustainable production of food, water, and energy, and sustainable consumption. That means the individual can also play a big role here. Don't waste food. Have a more appropriate, balanced diet. Don't waste water. Don't waste energy. Less pressure on nature.
Well, so what should governments be doing? And what about civil society?
The public, once they realize that biodiversity loss is not simply an environmental issue, is a social, economic, and development issue, they should be putting pressure on governments and on the private sector. We want a sustainable future. So government should put in place appropriate energy policies to stimulate a transition to a low-carbon economy, getting rid of fossil fuels and using renewable energy, putting policies in place so we're actually more effective in the way we use our energy, stimulate mass transportation so we don't all have to use an individual car. We do have mass transportation. Also, put in place policies that can help the farmer become more sustainable. So there's a lot of things. Government is in charge of largely stimulating policy, educating the public about these issues. Private sector in the long term needs to be sustainable. And most private sector either need nature to be profitable or they put a footprint on nature. So the private sector needs to take both the biodiversity issue and the climate change issue very seriously.
Robert Watson, what gives you hope?
Well, I suppose what gives me hope is the fact that over the last, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, governments have actually done three things that's very important. That in biodiversity, they have the so-called Aichi targets. They have 20 targets of how to protect biodiversity. We've got the Paris Agreement that was negotiated recently that says we should try and limit the change in the Earth's climate to no more than 2 degrees Celsius and hopefully 1.5. And then the world agreed on 17 sustainable development goals that go from energy security, water security, gender equality, leave nobody behind. So I think there's a recognition of the importance of environment and development, but the actions today are inadequate. Governments and the private sector have to be much more sustainable. The pledges under the Paris Agreement are not adequate to meet the 2-degree target. They have to be doubled and redoubled. We need to do a much better job of managing our forests, a much better job of managing our agriculture. So there's a good realization of what is needed, but we're falling short of implementation at the moment. But as our reports show, we can do much better with the current knowledge. We can use technologies better. We can develop policies. We can have behavior change. So there's at least a recognition of the problem. We now have to implement.
Robert Watson is chair of the Intergovernmental Science Policy Platform on Biodiversity and Ecosystem Services. Sir Robert, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
And thank you for allowing me to talk with you.